the intro. So whenever you're ready.
And welcome, everyone, to another very special episode of Podcasting Them Softly. This is Nick, and, of course, I'm joined by Frank. What's going on, buddy?
Sup? This is my first time doing that. We started off with a bang.
Well, we both just saw Green Room, so we got our edge on right now. We're all hopped up.
Yes.
But this is going to be an exciting podcast because we're joined by two fun guys from another podcast. Doug Cooper and Mikey Rupert from the Cooper and Rupert podcast, which can be found at cooperandrupert.com. And Doug and I go way back. When I was working in Los Angeles, he was one of the first people I ever got a chance to hire as a runner at the production company we both worked at. And that was Doug's one of his first forays, if not his first foray into Hollywood. Am I not mistaken, Doug?
That is correct. And I still have that job. That's what you do.
I hope not. But we're joining forces today for a little dual podcasting action. We're going to talk about our favorite baseball movies. The Cooper and Rupert podcast is a sports podcast. We urge you guys to check it out. Very cool show. You guys are very knowledgeable about sports, know a lot more than I do. I don't know shit about sports anymore. But I do know a lot about baseball movies, and I know you guys do too. I know Frank does, and this will be a really fun chat.
Mike?
Yeah, it was good talk.
Say hello. Being silent and weird over there.
No, I'm doing good. I'm glad to be on the program. I can't wait to talk some baseball movies. It's one of my favorite subjects.
For sure. It's good to talk to you guys again. You had me on a while back to talk about Creed, and that was a very fun chat. So I'm very much looking forward to this one because I'm sure our lists are going to be different but probably the same, and I might get shamed with a few of my picks.
I've just been looking at a couple of the baseball movies right now. I've just been kind of going through them in my head, and I already hate a lot of these, so I already can't wait to into why I hate all these baseball movies despite being a massive mega baseball fan.
Well, hopefully I'll throw some titles your way that you won't hate, but I'll be curious to hear your talk. Well, so why don't we just jump right into it? Because I guess that's an interesting segue into it. What is a baseball movie that you do not like?
I obviously anything with Kevin Costner I hate.
Wow, that's bold.
All right,
that's pretty much like every baseball movie. So I don't know what we're even going to talk about.
Well, we could already start there. And then I was just looking. The Rookie is terrible. Rookie of the Year is also terrible. And basically, the theme that you'll find here, Angels in the Outfield, also bad. One of the things that you'll find with the theme for me is the more unrealistic the baseball action, the more upset I get.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
That's what all baseball movie fans go to is for realistic baseball action instead of just watching a baseball game.
I just want to throw a blanket statement out here real quick that I'm sure is going to get everybody riled up. Well, probably half the people riled up on this podcast. And then probably anybody who listens to this is going to think I'm a total idiot by saying it. So I'd love to get it out of the way now. I think that Bull Durham is vastly overrated.
Yes. Thank you. We're going to get along great.
Okay, good. As long as I have somebody on my side. Field of Dreams I like a lot. I mean, I think Bull Durham's a good movie. I get it. I'm just not as into it as most people are.
Nick, how do you feel about Bull Durham?
Nick's ready to just punch me through the screen.
I personally think that Ron Shelton is one of the best writer-directors of sports movies that there really has ever been. Bull Durham is not my favorite Ron Shelton movie, but I certainly don't have too many problems with it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Kevin Costner in general. I guess what is mildly disturbing for me to hear is that you don't like The Rookie, because for me, The Rookie is like a 4 out of 4 star film with some of the best actual baseball footage that's ever been put in a movie. And I just personally think that movie just gets it all right.
Yeah, Mike, you're going to have to elaborate it, I hate it.
A lot of things just get really, really cheesy. Like, he's a professional, he's getting ready to go into the pros, and he's trying to try out, and they're trying out in this torrential downpour. It's like, they're major league scouts. Don't they have a facility? Is there something? Do we need to be out here in the rain? And I wanted to go back to Bull Durham 1 minute. And do you guys mind if I play you a clip?
Absolutely, play a clip.
I don't believe in quantum physics when it comes to matters of the heart.
What do you believe in then?
Well, I believe in the soul. The cock, a pussy, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
What's the problem? Is that unrealistic for you because you don't believe a kiss could last for 3 days? Is that the problem?
Softcore pornography, though. I mean, I get it's the 80s, but fuck.
That's all they had back then.
I just remember also when I watched that, I got really upset about him wanting to outlaw DHs because I think there should be a law against pitchers batting.
Okay.
But what is it exactly about that monologue, which I happen to think is, like, really well-written and funny and very cinematic? What exactly is it about that you don't like?
Well, he said a couple of things that I did like. I just played that. Maybe that was – it was kind of a half and half. I do believe Lee Harvey Oswald did act alone. I'm on his team on that one. I do not – and I also liked his comment about the AstroTurf. I do believe that there should be constitutional law outlawing all artificial grass in – all sports, but it just kind of seemed a little hokey.
You realize you don't have to agree with everything a character says in a movie to make it okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not just necessarily about that character affirming your own life beliefs, that they can have differences of opinion and be their own, you know, self-sustained, you know, free-thinking, independent person.
Well, I need to go back and watch a lot of movies then.
Yeah, that might be a window into making you like baseball movies a little bit more than you actually do right now, it seems like.
There's a movie called Citizen Kane, and I highly recommend that.
Maybe start there, work your way up. I mean, things could happen. We don't know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I ride or die with Ron Shelton as well. I mean, I could probably do an hour podcast alone about, you know, some of his movies just by themselves. And I actually think Bull Durham is not really – as much as strange as this sounds, it's not really – I guess I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think constitutes a baseball movie?
Right.
Like, are we talking about movies that are about baseball, or are we talking about movies that are kind of tangentially related to baseball?
My definition of a baseball movie would be any film that – it doesn't necessarily have to, like – it could be a movie like Cobb where you barely see baseball footage at all. And baseball is in, you know, is a part of the narrative because of the character, or, you know, something like A League of Their Own or The Sandlot or, you know, I mean, really anything that centers around the game I would consider to be a baseball movie. But I think that the best movies about baseball are the ones that talk about more than just the sport. You're talking about either, you know, friendship or camaraderie by the teammates, or something like Moneyball, which is like about so many different things. I fucking love Moneyball. What do you guys think of a bit when you think of baseball movie?
Well, I'm with you on Moneyball. I love that one. My favorite baseball movie and among my favorite movies in the world is Major League. I love The Sandlot. I mean, I think there's a lot, definitely Sandlot's a baseball movie. I mean, they're playing baseball like the entire time, but.
Well, I mean, that movie is specifically about baseball. Almost everything that happens to the characters is in relationship to the game
itself. I feel strongly that qualifies.
Yeah, I think that would be safe.
And the question was, were you just feeling out what ones we liked, or.
No, really. I mean, like, you'd asked what I would consider to be a baseball movie. I mean, I feel like a baseball movie really is any film that centers on the game, or if the game is in the background, or it's about, you know, like Field of Dreams isn't necessarily about baseball as it is about fathers and sons and family. But baseball is obviously a key component. Now, I know you don't like Kevin Costner, clearly, so Field of Dreams might be lost on you. I happen to think it's just an absolutely wonderful movie that has rarely been repeated. I think the tone of that movie is very special and very different. I will second your love for Major League, though. That was the first R-rated film I ever saw in a movie theater. So that holds a very special place in my heart. I think that came out in like 1989 or 1990. It was like 9 or 10. That movie really, really made an impression on me in more ways than one. But, you know, that movie's so funny because it's a great comedy and it knows baseball very well. It's very smart about the fine details.
Completely agree, which is what it was, just why I believe that it's such a great movie. I mean, even though the very, very end when he does the bunt, just everything about the gameplay and, you know, Charlie Sheen being such a huge baseball fan and a big time baseball memorabilia collector, I think that he had to have had his footprint on that, because I thought that the movie was actually very accurate. I mean, it's a little ridiculous that a bunch of scrubs could make the playoffs, but if you just get over that part, like the actual in-game play is pretty spot on. It's pretty close, which I really appreciated.
Let me just back up here. I need to defend myself a bit and say that I love Ron Shelton, even down to Hollywood Homicide. Even though that movie's kind of shitty, I still think it's awesome.
I kind of secretly love that movie, too. I'm glad you...
Awesome! Yeah, dude, it's great!
It's,
you know, Dark Lewis
and Russell. It's the ultimate should-have-been rated R, but still good enough PG-13 action movie.
Exactly. But I, you know, I'm... I don't know, my thing with Bull Durham, I think it's just like more of like Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon. I just don't get into that storyline at all. Mm-hmm. But and then what constitutes a baseball movie, because that's, you know, that's a fine line, because Bull Durham and Field of Dreams, even though that's the backdrop, that's not really what they're about. Mm-hmm. But since we're kind of on Ron Shelton, I just have to bring up Cobb. I watched that today. I rewatched that. I think Cobb's fantastic. That's one of my, that's like on my top tier. That's probably my second favorite baseball movie of all time, even though theoretically there's not a lot of actual, there's pretty much no baseball in the movie except for, you know, the old highlight reel that gets played a couple of times. But I think it's about the guy that essentially, you know, depending on who you talk to, created the game of baseball, or at the very least revolutionized baseball.
Yeah, it's an interesting take on a sports movie in the sense that it's kind of about genius in some ways. And
right.
I think that is like that's an interesting thing in a movie that I feel like hasn't been done a lot. And Mikey and I were actually talking about this. That movie strangely reminds me of Whiplash, which came out, what, a couple years ago. I also feel like basically a sports movie. It has the same framework. It has the same dynamic. And it has, like, the same focus on excellence that I think is very – that is a profound statement about sports in general. And I really like that movie for that reason, too. I think that's something that gets overlooked in sports, is the dedication and the mind and the mental acuity that it takes to succeed at something at that high of a level. And I just think I think Shelton's the man, dude. I mean, White Man Can't Jump is probably one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I just, everything he does, his insight into the game. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who is so good at kind of Trojan horsing interesting stories into stories about sports. I mean, that guy, nobody does it better than that guy, in my opinion.
Right.
And some of his movies that are kind of bad are, all like you said, Hollywood Homicide excluded. But I mean, some of the movies that he has done that are about sports that are kind of bad are also amazing. Like, I Ride or Die with Tin Cup as well, which some people, I think, hate.
I love Tin Cup.
Yeah.
I think Tin Cup, I mean, it's a golf movie, but, and again, I know we're not going to win any points here with your partner because it's Costner, but Tin Cup, the last 20 minutes of Tin Cup, where he says, fuck it, and hits every single shot into the water and doesn't give a shit about winning, he only cares about that hole. That is just so awesome. The chemistry between him and Rene Russo is some of the best, like, in any romantic comedy. I've been in love with that movie since I saw it in the theater opening weekend. I can still remember seeing it. Just
it's
a lot.
Favorite
love
Costner performance ever, actually. I don't
he's know. In it. He's so, like, affable and fun and like, he's like that, you know, he's an alcoholic, but like he's still like got his shit together, and he's funny, and he's like a rascal, and just see great chemistry with everybody in that movie. And Don Johnson and him going up against each other was great. Here's one I want to throw at you guys, because it goes to what Doug was saying about what constitutes a baseball movie. And I know, Frank, I don't think you've seen it. I've mentioned it to you. Have you guys seen the movie Sugar?
Yeah. Sugar is fantastic as well. That was going to be one of my sneak picks.
Yeah, Sugar is just, it's so good. And it says so much about the American experience and about what it is to be an immigrant here in this country without being, you know, overly didactic or annoying or, you know, it tells a very good story. And then I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it because it is kind of an under the radar title. You know, the movie centers on a Dominican Republic phenom who's going to make it into the big leagues. And, you know, the movie charts his rise through the farm leagues out in like the, you know, middle of the country. And what it's like, the movies, as much as the movie is about baseball, and it's got some great on-field footage, as much as it's about baseball, it's about being, you know, a human being in this country and what it's like to be an outsider. And the last act of that movie goes in a very surprising place from a story point of view, and I don't want to spoil it because it sort of subverts your expectations for a sports film. And I think that Sugar, you know, if that was on your list as a, you know, a sneak gem, I'm glad because it's great.
And I think that movie says something really interesting about, I mean, everything about that movie is kind of, like you said, unexpected. I mean, just to do a movie about baseball is so iconically American, to do it from the perspective of the people from the outside looking in, I think is not only a brilliant kind of twist of hand, but it's also just, it adds a whole level of context and insight into the game that I think, or just like, again, just a person's quest for like meaning, excellence, et cetera, that we hadn't really seen before. And I liked that about that movie quite a bit.
If we're talking on gems, I wouldn't call this a gem. I would call this a movie that I'm a little ashamed to really like. Mm-hmm. But I loved Fever Pitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God.
And you want to know what? I hate the Red Sox. I'm not the biggest Jimmy Fallon guy. He's fine enough, but he's not my favorite. And I'm like Drew Barrymore. I'm like, whatever. That movie is so funny.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that because I really thought it was going to be crickets.
I loved how Frank just laughed at you for 30 seconds.
It's a funny movie.
I made such a huge statement early with all this baseball related stuff and how hardcore I am. And then I go and watch, I like Fever Pitch. So I'm glad to see you guys have a little bit of forgiveness.
I mean, I think everybody knows that deep down, Mikey, you're a romantic at heart and that you're just a sucker for a nice little romantic rom-com.
Speaking of movies, I haven't seen this in years, but of the movies we were talking about just briefly about whether or not they are really about baseball, Hardball is another movie that takes a really unique approach to baseball. And I don't know if it's not necessarily about baseball. It's more of just about like the kids and stuff growing up.
That's the Keanu Reeves one. Yeah.
I never saw it.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. I thought most people thought it was, but I was also like 10 years old when I watched it. So I don't know if it actually was good or if it sucked.
All right. The fact that Fever Pitch got thrown out and then Hardball, and we're all kind of being nice to one another with our picks. This is a perfect time for me to say that I think one of the greatest baseball movies ever made is Mr. Baseball.
Dude, I love Mr. Baseball. I love
Mr. Baseball is amazing.
Yeah, that's the Tom Selleck goes to Japan, right?
Yes.
I cannot tell you how many times I rented that movie on VHS when I was a kid. Dude. I watched that thing till it broke.
Selleck is great in it. I remember the movie not being all that great, but I remember him being really
awesome.
Good in it.
Whole thing's great.
That movie definitely suffered from that affliction where you loved it when you were a kid, and I almost don't want to watch it again because it holds a special place in my childhood heart, and I know if I watch it now, I'd probably think it's total shit. So.
Oh, no.
I'm scared to even see that one again. But I did, as a young kid, love that movie quite a bit.
Do yourself a favor and just buy the DVD. I'm going to look to see if it's on Blu-ray right now.
And here's the other thing I would say about it. Like the movie that I think is interesting about this is Field of Dreams, going back to that one a little bit. Field of Dreams, to me, is it in some ways like the most essential baseball movie, because I think it says the most interesting thing about baseball, which is it's a way that movie has almost no baseball in it, right? And yet I think it says the most fundamental thing about the actual game of baseball that any other movie says in the most touching way possible, which is baseball is a way that you connected with your dad. And I think, like, for me, that movie, like I said, has no moments of, I mean, really of any baseball in it yet. Yet it says the most, to me, profound and intimate thing about the game itself that any movie has. And I think that for that reason, that movie holds a special baseball movie place in my heart. And I'm sure it does for a lot of people.
That pretty much sums the movie up perfectly. I mean, I think if you ask most people whether they're really into baseball films or they're really into film or they're really into baseball and not so much into film, I think Field of Dreams is going to be the movie that people are going to say most of the time. And I think that's probably the most iconic baseball movie, especially of people from our generation who grew up watching it and then probably our parents' generation.
Yeah.
I think that film kind of is synonymous with what I think is the best baseball movie ever made, and I'm waiting for Mikey to jump shit on me a little bit about this one. But I think The Natural is just be-all, end-all for me.
You're lucky here because I never have seen that movie. And I think that's
oh, my God.
I think I've talked to people that I've never seen it, and for whatever reason, that status has never changed. And it's not because I'm anti. I haven't seen it.
Dude, it's so good on so many different levels, I think. Like, thematically, it's like a reimagining of Homer's The Odyssey, but told through, like, baseball. And, I mean, Robert Redford's amazing in it. It's got a lot of very cool, you know, like, the Cubs are in it. For whatever reason, the Yankees aren't in it. And that's kind of the team that Robert Redford's playing on. I don't know what the deal was with that. But I think that film is just... is so iconic, and I think that goes hand in hand.
By Caleb Deschanel in that movie is just staggering. Mikey, when you do see The Natural, just sort of like go into it knowing that it is very, very cinematic, and it's very it's almost like baseball as if it were magical realism.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, the guy has a magic bat, so just mentally prepare yourself. Wrap your head around
now. Well, so did Serrano in Major League.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, but his was
wonderful.
Joe Boo helped him hit that homer in the seventh or whatever in that playing game against the Yankees.
Up yours, Joe Boo. That's probably the best baseball line ever from any baseball movie. But, yeah, I mean, you guys brought up Major League earlier. That's definitely on my list. That was one of the first R-rated movies I saw when I was a little kid. And I was just obsessed with it. I still watch it to this day. I even think the sequel is halfway decent, and the third one I never even saw.
Oh, I've seen it.
But how is the third one?
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think number two and number three were a little whack.
But
I still could never believe that they made a PG sequel to a very R-rated movie. I never could wrap my head around it. Even when I didn't know shit about movies, I couldn't wrap my head around it.
So bizarre.
The sequel's PG-13?
PG.
It's PG. Whoa.
Oh, God. Really?
It's very...
I'm 98% sure that it's rated PG. That's...
I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time. All I remember is...
R to a PG.
All I remember is they recast Wesley Snipes because he was too cool to be in it. But, I mean,
yeah, with
you get Tom Berenger, Charlie Sheen, and at least Corbin Burnson's still in it.
Wesley Snipes was like, if I can't say fuck, I'm out. And just
right.
Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just saying of a movie thought. Now I was just thinking about the first Major League being an R, and then Major League 2 being PG. I don't think you can go backwards in movies when it comes to their ratings. Like I could see a franchise go from a G to an R. I could see how you could maybe dangle your way up to an R, and then that would really work.
No.
You cannot work backwards. You cannot start at an R, you know, Charlie Sheen saying, fuck you, and then grabbing his crotch, and then to like, you know, let's all hold hands, or I didn't even watch the number two.
That's what happened with the Conan movies. Conan was like a hard R, and then the sequel's PG, and it's awful.
So bizarre.
So weird. I wonder who thought that was a good idea.
It's like, let's make the sequel a family movie and get little kids to come see it. It's like, what? No.
Well, that's when you know the executives really fully understood what made a movie good is when they can really
do
that with that kind of decision making. I mean, it's what we love about them, really.
Doug, we talked about this off the air, and I thought that you were going to bring it up, and this was League of Their Own, which is baseball, but it's played by chicks.
Well, here's what I was going to say. and allow me to put on my hat that says the guy that everybody hates. But as much as I think Field of Dreams is great, I read the book before I saw the movie, and the book is even more special to me, and I'm that guy. I'm like, well, it's not as good as the book. So I think that if – I know that is not a fair criticism or even relevant to most people. They could care less if I read a book. But I think for that, Field of Dreams got knocked down a bit. And I think when I really was being honest about this, my favorite baseball movie of all time is A League of Their Own. And I was rewatching it before we did the show, and I don't think it's that close because Tom Hanks just goes ham on everyone in that movie. He goes so hard, and I think it's like probably my second favorite performance by him ever.
Yeah, he's amazing in it. The pissing scene is one of the funniest things of all time. I mean, when he takes a leak for like a minute and a half, his comedic timing on that whole thing, it still makes me laugh. And I agree, that's up there for me too. That's one of the first movies I saw multiple times in the theater, as I recall. And I just think it does so many things so well. It's evocative of time and place, and it's a great period piece. It's a great baseball movie. It's a great feminist picture. It's a great family entertainment.
And it's fun from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
It is really hysterical movie. And like Tom, first of all, we cannot underrate the Tom Hanks. What?
No F words either. Like just a very nice script.
Just jokes, like really well crafted. Like these guys got jokes on the page. Like that movie. Like, and you cannot underrate what a high quality dirtbag. Tom Hanks dirtbag performance, like Tom Hanks the dirtbag, is like somebody we never get to see really, and he just does so fantastically well. And that was like really kind of the last time he did anything like that, as far as I can recall. And I think it's for that reason. And then John Lovitz just coming in the beginning and just crushing it. Lovitz just, man, dude, I love him in that movie so much. It can't be underrated.
Yeah, Lovitz is hysterical in that when he's going around to grab the girls and stuff. Oh.
Do you guys remember the TV show that came out? I don't even think it lasted a full season. It was like on ABC or CBS, A League of Their Own television show.
Wow. I never even knew that existed.
Yeah. I want to say that John Lovitz reprised his role in the pilot. I'm trying to think right now. I have to look. I know Marla Hooch was in it, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
She was like the star of it. Hang on, I'm looking it up.
As much as that, we thought that was a star-making performance, things did not work out for Marla Hooch going forward in her acting career. So I'm sure she was available for the TV show. Now, here's what I would say, actually. I didn't know that TV show existed, but I do think that that's actually a world that if you separate it from the movie we already know, that is a universe that would actually make for a great TV show if somebody dipped their toe back into that world.
Mm-hmm.
I really think...
Oh, yeah.
That's what makes part of that, what makes that movie so special, is it really takes you to a place that most people didn't even know that girls took over Major League Baseball for a period of time. I think that's a total unknown to most people. And it really, just like you said, it captures time and place so well by bringing you into this universe that is so specific and special. And I think that's the other thing that movie does so exceptionally well.
And to sort of jump from the female baseball league, are you guys familiar with John Badham's Bingo Long and the Traveling All-Stars with Billy Dee Williams and Richard Pryor, James Earl Jones, about the Negro Leagues?
I have not seen that one.
It's awesome. It's totally awesome.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Okay. It's great. It came out in, sometime in the 70s. I'm trying to remember when it came out. It's terrific, and it's more of a ribald comedy. Like, it's definitely more it's a 70s movie, so it has a different look and feel and tone. But it's very, very good with time and place and atmosphere and taking you to a world that you don't often see. And Richard Pryor's phenomenal in it, and Billy Dee Williams as the cocky pitcher is great. It's so good. John Badham, lots of good 80s movies. And this was definitely – what year did it come out? This is definitely good. My father was a big fan of it when I was growing up. And I know it's on DVD. It's on YouTube, actually. Somebody put it up there. So hopefully I won't get in trouble by saying that. But
76.
76. Okay. So very, very, very good. And another film that I, you know, that certainly doesn't get talked up a lot. And the other one I wanted to throw out too is a movie that just totally love. I haven't seen it in a long time, and I'm actually going to grab the DVD on the next time I buy some stuff. But have you guys seen Bang the Drum Slowly, John Hancock's yep. movie?
Oh man, I'm kind of ashamed to say I've never seen that movie, and I know that a lot of people view it as like one of the, you know, all time classics of the movie genre, but I've never seen it.
It's just phenomenal. De Niro, Michael Moriarty. You know, it was previously made as a TV movie with Paul Newman in the 50s. But this is just a great movie. It's kind of like Brian's Song. It kind of hits on some of the same notes as that, and a great baseball film, a great movie about friendship, a movie that really knew the sport. De Niro's terrific in it. Michael Moriarty, great. Just what a great actor, Michael Moriarty, a guy that like just didn't get the acclaim ever. I don't think that he was truly deserving of getting. But Bang the Drum Slowly is awesome. Mikey, have you seen that?
No, I haven't either. And this is something that I need to go check out. I mean, I haven't even heard of it.
Ah, yeah.
Really, dude, it's amazing.
It's the
really De Niro.
That movie and Mean Streets, I think, were like two of De Niro's like big breakouts, I think, because Bang the Drum was like 71 or 72 or 73, I think.
That sounds right.
Well, since we're on Yankees films, I have to bring up that probably I made a list here real quick. I have to see where it is. It's my third on my list behind The Natural and then Cobb, but right before Mr. Baseball is Pride of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up watching that movie constantly because my dad is like the world's biggest Yankees fan ever, like to a point where it's obnoxious. But, you know, I got burnt out of it when I was little.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But correct me if I'm wrong, has your dad always lived in Illinois?
Yeah, my dad's like born and raised Chicago. But this could segue to another movie. My dad grew up watching Mickey Mantle and got really into the Maris Mantle home run race. So I think 61 is a movie that I love too. But yeah, that's why my dad's a Yankees fan, is all because of Mickey Mantle.
So what do we think? One thing I wanted to ask you guys too. So we've heard, I think, everybody's favorites, right? Nick, what was your favorite?
My favorite all-time baseball movie, if I could only pick one, very hard, very, very hard, but simply for rewatchability factor.
Oh, God.
I would eat simply because of rewatchability factor.
You are like, you're putting way too much into this.
I'm
waiting for you to say, I don't even know
what. For the love of the game.
Sorry. For the love of the game's awesome.
We'll talk about For Love of the Game in a second, because that's a very interesting mess of a movie, but still good. Say Bad News Bears or Field of Dreams.
Yep.
And I think because Field of Dreams, as Doug so eloquently said before, it really cuts to what it is to be a human being, and the father and son angle is really, really well done. Bad News Bears is fucking amazing. The Michael Ritchie, Richard Linklater's unnecessary remake is not bad. It's actually kind of funny in a lot of spots, but it's not the original. And that movie is just so, so good. I mean, like it just holds up.
Yeah, that's a great one too.
That's a great one too.
So I was going to ask, what do you get? If we had to pick one, what would we say is like the worst baseball movie? Do you guys have any opinions on that? I was just curious.
Worst baseball movie that I've ever seen.
Because I have one.
Why don't you start, and that'll get my wheels spinning? Because I can't think of one off the top. Maybe like Ed. Mr. 3000.
Mr. 3000's pretty bad. That's the Bernie Mac one.
Yeah.
That one's bad. I haven't seen Ed because it had a chimp playing baseball, so I just decided to bypass that one.
Is there an Air Bud with baseball?
I'm sure there was.
There had to have been. I think Air Bud hit all the sports pretty hard with the sequels.
Yeah. That dog was quite an athlete.
Up to an R, actually.
Yeah, that dog was one of the rare multi-sports athletes we've ever had. It's quite a champion.
Bo Jackson of canines.
Yeah, exactly.
That was awesome. Well, I probably laughed too hard at that, but that's a joke.
No, everybody loves a good Air Bud joke. Come on. I think that Robert De Niro runs the gamut from one of the all-time greats, I mean, just going by what you said, Nick, to one of the worst, which is Bang the Drum Slowly, to The Fan.
Dude, The Fan is amazing.
No.
Yes.
Hey, listen, like, you're talking to the ultimate Tony Scott fan here, so...
Yeah, but this is a great thing, because, like, Nick is, like, the biggest Tony Scott fan I've ever met in my entire life. And I think that I like... The Fan more than he does.
Oh, wow.
I think The Fan is brilliant, dude. Why do you hate it so much?
I just remember... I should have rewatched it before so I could have just gone on a rant. But I just remember it was one of those rare movies, and this happens to me on occasion, where I'm sitting in the theater and I feel embarrassed for myself and everyone in the theater because we're there.
What?
And that last scene where he's making him pitch... where they're pitching and hitting together. Like, I just remember being ashamed of myself.
I'm not cutting out the dead air.
I'm the ultimate Tony Scott fan. I think that he's my favorite director of all time. The Fan is easily the most compromised movie that he ever made. When I had the very, very fortunate experience of working for him, the first thing that I was told by his upper management was, do not bring up The Fan. You can do anything here, Nick, that you want. You can run around with your pants around your ankles, but you can't bring up The Fan because no one wants to talk about The Fan. I don't think that a British director typically knows how to shoot baseball. He even admitted that he didn't know how to shoot the baseball stuff. I happen to think it's a guilty pleasure visually and sonically. I think it's awesome. Like every Tony Scott movie, the widescreen cinematography is great. It is very over the top, very overheated. The finale makes really no sense. Tony Scott was pissed about the finale. He wanted it reshot, rewritten. The deal with that movie, just to put it in a little bit of a context, that movie was produced by a woman named Wendy Finnerman, who had just come off of Forrest Gump. And The Fan was a movie that she had had in her back pocket for a long time and got De Niro interested. I'm trying to remember how Tony Scott was brought in, but Tony Scott made the movie because Robert De Niro was going to be in it. And he was going to finally get a chance to work with De Niro, and who he tried to get to play in Man on Fire later on. Little Tony Scott trivia. But I don't think that The Fan is the greatest Tony Scott movie ever made, but I have a personal connection to it because I love him. But I wouldn't tell someone that they're wrong for not liking it.
I'm glad you're being impartial about it. And I'm not Mikey on my level of particular with the baseball. Like, Mikey, you should never see this movie. Like, don't. It will, like, you might, like, end up having...
If you watched it now, I bet you wouldn't hate it as much. The ending is a mess, but there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Mikey, can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah, man.
Do you like the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Does De Niro screaming shattered at the top of his lungs while driving this gigantic van filled with Giants memorabilia interest you at all?
That does sound like something I would like to watch.
You have to see this movie.
Overheated as fuck, but it's good. It's good.
It's super dark. I mean, that's the thing, and that's what turns a lot of people off. I mean... It's probably about as transgressive as Tony Scott's ever gotten. Definitely. And that's probably why I like it.
Nick, I'm just glad you were impartial about it and you could at least admit that the ending scene is probably some of the worst shot baseball footage that has ever been captured.
Yeah, well, if you watch the baseball footage, there's scenes where there'll be scenes where the Giant, you know, he's on the Giants, so they'll show a shot where the Giant pitcher is pitching to like somebody on the Mets. And then the guy hits the ball, and then you're looking at, like, the, you know, the fucking Expos or something. Like, the continuity's mess. Like, there's a whole – there's even a shot, if I'm not mistaken, there might even be a shot, an aerial shot, where it's not even baseball being played. They did pickups quick, and I think there's, like, a football game going on. I could be wrong. There's all sorts of issues with The Fan. But, again, I still like it because I like Tony Scott, and it's a guilty pleasure for me. But I've always kind of felt that it was on the lower tier, but Listen,
you guys know what you're talking about.
I'm not going to act it's worse than Ed. I mean, I'll be real. But
when he's sitting in his room listening to Nine Inch Nails and throws the knife through the door, like, that's a great moment. So I can't hate the movie forever.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll give you one that is supposed to be the worst movie ever, but I actually liked it, and that was The Benchwarmers.
Oh my God.
I've never seen that.
With John Heder and Rob Schneider, and I thought that was funny.
See, this is the thing. Mikey, you were just like sandbagging yourself so hard right now. He actually has good movie taste, but I think as we're learning, his baseball movie taste might be close to atrocious.
But I'm going to get back on track here. The worst movie, and this is probably not fair to go after this movie, but I hate Rookie of the Year so much. I have the same feeling you had in those movies where I'm just embarrassed. When that movie's on, it's just like, what are we doing here? Like,
dude, come on.
And I'm saying I probably should.
How old are
this.
You?
This is not fair for me to go after, but it's a movie that people still bring up all the time. Adults will talk about, you know, Rookie of the Year baseball movie. It's like, come on.
How old are you?
17.
what's the movie where what's the film?
It's called Nostalgia, bro.
Yeah,
and that must be where all this is coming from.
You don't want to see sweaty Gary Busey throwing the baseball. Jeez. Come on, Daniel Stern directed it. He gets locked between two hotel room doors. Come on, man, it's a lot of fun.
I don't know what you have a problem with. The kid broke his arm, and then he could throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. I mean,
it's all right there. It's just an eye roll. Oh, brother!
Man,
I asked my friend.
Doesn't that movie end with the kid going out and throwing an Ephus?
Yes, it does.
Yep, it does. Because his mom tells him to, because she's a softball player, dude. He throws the floater.
Yep. And that
what's
nothing unrealistic about that.
You talked me into it. It's favorite movie ever.
Yep, thank you. It's better
friend,
than Citizen Kane.
I asked my friend to break my arm after that movie, so just keep that in mind.
What's the film where the kid inherits the twins?
Oh, God. That's
oh, Little Big League.
No, what is it? Little Big League.
What'd you say?
It's Little Big League, but that was like the 10-year-old me loved Little Big League. I saw that on opening night. It was a baseball movie doubleheader. I can't remember what the other
Yeah, directed by Andrew Scheinman. Andrew, I did not work again. Who is this?
Well, there's probably a reason for that. I remember my dad looking like he was in physical pain while I was sitting next to him during that movie. But I definitely enjoyed it as a young child.
We brought it up briefly and we'll bring it back up again because it really is a gem. And Frank and I are very lucky because we'll be speaking to David Mickey Evans later this week coming up. He's the writer director of The Sandlot. The Sandlot gets so
watch what you say.
What?
I was just making a joke to that. Watch what you say. The Led Zeppelin joke right there, not the band, but like a literal Led Zeppelin. But anyway, go ahead, guys.
It gets it all right. It gets the being a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, making friends, being sure of yourself. The baseball footage is terrific. They cast kids who really knew how to play baseball rather than finding kids who were actors first and baseball players second. And I just revisited it in preparation for our chat, and I had just completely forgotten how honest and how just really in love with the sport that movie is.
And how creative it is. I mean, there's so many nice little touches in that movie, stories that feel so true to the just like childhood experience of like being out and walking around and not having anything to do. It's one of my favorite summer movies as well.
Oh, God. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it captures the feeling that you had as a kid during summer better than almost any movie I can think of off the top of my head.
You know, and it's so true. And it's not a baseball movie, the title I'm going to throw out, but I always kind of feel like The Sandlot is playing in some like movie universe, like some little movie world. It's playing on like a double bill with Joe Dante's Matinee, which is like another movie that like would never get made these days. And it, you know, took you to a time and place like The Sandlot, and it involved children and friendship and the summer. And, you know, that movie's different, of course, not a baseball film. It's about the Cuban Missile Crisis movies and, you know, the love of cinema. But I always feel like The Sandlot and Matinee are playing on a double bill.
What about Indian in the Cupboard?
That's a great one, too. That's a great one.
Please, I've got the Blu-ray and the DVD.
Do you really?
Oh, hell yeah. I had the DVD forever, and I just grabbed the Blu-ray because for Owen, for when he gets to that age, I got to have that on Blu-ray. That's a great movie. Now, that's a kid's movie that would never get made these days.
No,
we could do a kid's movie, but I mean, like, think about, like, The Explorers. I mean, all of Joe Dante stuff, Inner Space. I mean, like, all those great movies from the, you know, mid to late 80s, early 90s, those awesome films, practical effect movies. You can't get those these days. You know?
Little known fact about Nick Clement for the listeners. He loves movies about cabinets. big cabinet and storage guy. Like, any movies about cupboards or pantries, he's loved those.
I wanted to go onto The Sandlot and just make one comment, and that was Benny the Jet is one of my favorite characters.
Great character.
Because he's a cool guy, and he's the good baseball player, but actually got skilled.
Yeah.
But he never leaves his bros.
Yeah.
And I thought that always that was so cool, even when, you know, the other teams were making fun of him or whatever the situation was, or Smalls couldn't play. And he just took him under his wing and was like the cool guy. And I always thought that was really neat because I remember when I was a kid, it was never like that. When you suck, you just got ostracized. And I was thinking, oh, this is great. The best player on the team, you know, is always going to pick his friends. And I thought that was cool. And even in the last moment, which was probably a little cheesy, but I didn't care. I overlooked it because I love the movie so much. When Smalls is announcing the game and Benny the Jet's playing for the Dodgers and he steals home and then he, you know, gives the wave to his to his buddy. That was really cool.
It's great. And, you know, I never realized who it was that they have playing the grown-up Smalls. Howard.
Let me ask you this. Now, this is a good segue, and this is I kind of want to ask the director about this, too. Because I love Arliss Howard, but for some reason, I think that Arliss Howard being cast in Moneyball as like the owner of the Red Sox is a nod to The Sandlot.
Yeah, I hope Bennett Miller was that crafty.
Because Bennett Miller's like, I don't know how old he is. He's got to be around like Nick's age because he's old. But just kidding. But I'm going to look it up right now because I've always thought that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't make that connection, Frank, but that is a good point. And,
Before date of birth. So he's a pretty old dude.
Yeah, he's a little older than I thought he was, but I can't help but think that that's what it is. But I do love the fact that Arliss Howard is in it, in both of them.
Anything else we want to touch on? Like, I know we wanted to talk about Love for the Love of the Game. I think that's an interesting one because that movie is extremely divisive.
I might watch that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I was so excited to see that film. Sam Raimi, Kevin Costner, a guy reminiscing about his perfect game. And I've always felt, and you know, there's shit written about it. You guys can read about it online. I mean, that movie, fucking Sam Raimi had it out with Universal over that movie. I mean, that was as I recall, that was a contentious shoot. I don't think that Raimi and Costner got along. I think that movie was rewritten during production. It had a lot of bad buzz associated with it. But I've always kind of thought it was kind of charming in a unique way, and I always liked it. I never had a humongous problem with it. I haven't seen it in a while.
I would like to hear what Mikey has to say about the movie.
Sadly, I got nothing for you.
That was very underwhelming.
Yeah. I think it's actually structurally one of my favorite sports movies. I thought that the conceit of the movie itself was borderline brilliant. I really liked it. And I think that some people have issues with the kind of the romance aspect of it between Costner and Kelly Preston. I'm curious as to what Sam Raimi didn't like about it. I think that stuff actually turned out better than some people make it out to be. I think it was one of those things where a bunch of bros went to a movie to watch Costner in a sports movie, and it's like a love story. Oh, I can't feel things. Like, you know, like I had like a problem with it that I don't think is necessarily fair. I think that movie gets a lot more crap than it really deserves.
I like it because it's a realistic Kevin Costner baseball movie to the extent of, you know, Kevin Costner synonymous with baseball movies there for a very long time. And You know, it's like, oh, we're going to make a movie about Kevin Costner throwing a perfect game. But it's like the guy that's playing the last – yeah, it is hokey, but it's the guy playing the last game of his career. I mean, he's, like, old and he's worn out. And that's the aspect of it that I liked.
Yeah.
It was, you know, as believable as it isn't, it's believable to the age that Kevin Costner was when he made the film.
And to the arc of his career
right.
in that movie. The context
exactly.
of him in that movie is good. It works.
You know, and then he made that other movie. What was the Mike Binder movie that he made with Joan Allen where he's the former baseball player that's like
that
the serious
Upside
the Sirius XM host. Yes, that.
Love that film.
I've never seen that one, actually.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Joan Allen is great in it, and he's terrific, and it's just a very well-written movie. It's one of those small movies that just didn't get a lot of buzz, and, you know, it got some buzz, but it didn't get a lot of buzz, and it kind of went under the radar, and it's a good one.
One more that I wanted to throw out, just I'm curious if you guys have ever seen it, or maybe even heard of it. I know, Nick, you're a big Michael Keaton guy. Have you ever seen Game 6?
No.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to see that movie.
Yeah.
Tell me it's awesome.
It's
Nick.
I remember I saw it once right when it came out on disc through Netflix. I saw it with my wife. We very much enjoyed it, as I recall.
It's an interesting movie. It's not super about baseball. I mean, it's more about his connection, his own ineptitude in his own life, and the connection that plays with the Red Sox. This is in the 80s before they got awesome and won like 80 World Series. But like, it's written by Don DeLillo, who is one of my favorite authors. And some people don't like DeLillo because everybody in his books talk like they have like 140 IQ, and they find that obnoxious. But I kind of like it for that movie. It's got a great Robert Downey Jr. performance while he was still kind of off the wagon, I think.
That's right. Downey Jr. Is great in that. I got to watch this again.
Yeah, and the thing that I would recommend people watching it for is if you like Don DeLillo, you like his books, Robert Downey Jr. was like built in a laboratory to deliver Don DeLillo soliloquies. Like, he is the perfect actor, and they're like the perfect actor-writer pairing to the point where I wish this was the only time DeLillo ever wrote a movie script, and I almost wish that they would do something together now that Downey's a big star. I just think that their synergy together is phenomenal.
You got to get Robert Downey Jr. off the Marvel teat first.
I don't have $60 million to give him for his next movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
He loves Iron Man.
Apparently so.
He is Tony Stark. I mean, that might be true now with all the money he has. He could probably build one of those laboratories that guy has.
Well, any other titles that we want to throw out? I think we're getting close to our normally allotted.
We're at a climactic movie, but I never did see Million Dollar Arm. With John Hamm. Did that movie suck? It's got Disney on the cover, so I'm already extremely leery, but I didn't know if maybe you guys saw it and could talk me into it.
I did not see that.
I didn't see it. It looked to me like your standard
exactly.
Your standard boilerplate sports movie that Disney throws out, you know. I didn't see it. I'm a big John Hamm fan. I remember the movie came out and got decent buzz. I think it did okay, but I actually never saw it.
I had the same reaction with this movie as I did when I saw The Jungle Book. Somebody was telling me the plot of this movie, and I was thinking, oh, man, that's a kind of a really interesting take. That's really cool. And then they're like, yeah, it's a Disney movie. And it's just, ah, man, what? Like, that's the worst thing that could have happened.
Well, we'll get into all your Jungle Book hot takes on another episode.
I did watch The Jungle Book. We'll save that. We're going to do a full hour on that movie.
On our podcast, it won't even make sense. We're just going to talk about The Jungle Book for an hour.
Okay, because I can leave it recorded and I can go make dinner. if that interests you guys.
You see, there was a big orangutan.
That's sold. Already in. Well, I think that does it for our end. Unless
yeah,
you got anything else.
No, I looked at my list and we covered everything that was on my list. So this was a pretty awesome chat. This was a lot of fun. We got to do this again. about I don't know how many sports movies there are about other sports, not too many. We should do like a basketball one or something. There's a ton of basketball
football,
movies.
Certainly, there's
football. We could probably. I'm sure the four of us could talk about Blue Chips for a whole episode.
Oh my god, dude! I have so many thoughts on Blue Chips. Yeah,
William Friedkin and Ron Shelton.
I know.
And,
right.
And
Nick Nolte.
JT Walsh.
And JT Walsh.
We always
and Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway. And Larry Bird. Who's the white guy that's in it? I always forget his name. That's
that
one of the
big white boy, yeah. The goofy guy. The ultimate line in the trailer for Blue Chips is when JT Walsh screams, "We owe it to him." I can still hear him screaming that in my head.
I hear it in my nightmares all the time.
Well, that's definitely a lot of fun, guys. We'll hook up again for another chat, and an hour went by very quick.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, I can't wait to do the next one when we break down Space Jam.
Speaking of Space Jam, I'm so glad that the remake never happened.
It's the LeBron one?
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, the LeBron one. I don't think so. I think that got killed. I can look it up real quick, but I'm pretty sure that's not happening.
LeBron's people probably told him, dude, you're just going to kill yourself by going up against Michael in this thing.
I don't think people are really clamoring or chomping at the bit for a Space Jam sequel.
No, I don't think so either.
I think we kind of realized that was a hot piece of garbage. But if anybody wants to, one of the writers, sports writers we really love, his name is Zach Lowe, and he's like he's great at breaking down NBA stuff. But he went in and like analyzed that movie from like an X's and O's basketball standpoint, and like broke it down as to like who should have been getting minutes and who shouldn't have, and like the plays they were running and what kind of offense that they were utilizing. And it is one of the funniest sports articles that you'll ever read. So I highly recommend.
That sounds really awesome.
It's great.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on. And seriously, we'll hook up and do something like this again.
Yeah, for sure. That was a lot of fun. Sounds good.
Yeah, it was a great time. Thanks for having us, guys.
Of course.
Absolutely.